of the we have the minutes going around. I'd like to have everybody take a peek at the minutes before I ask for a motion to move them. We have two sets tonight. We have the one for the regular meeting, and we have the one from the night that we had to discuss and vote on the...
I'll make the motion.
Who made the motion? Legislator Archer will move to accept the minutes as written, seconded by Legislator Warren. All in favor?
And just a quick possible modification on motion 7. We're sorry to be picky, but I think it's valuable to include it. Here it is. I think there was some... Okay, well, just... I want to be sure that... it was either from Legislator Warren or Legislator Archer. The idea of keeping track of running tally, do you remember?
We talked about that after the meeting.
Okay. All right.
And Don's already doing it.
Okay.
Which is a contingency fund to make sure we have a running tab of the contingency fund.
Oh, we just got that after
the meeting. I thought it was after the meeting.
No, probably not. But just something to...
I know Don's already doing it.
Okay.
So.
And I like that idea. That is because, you know where we are.
Right. Because we're not dipping into it.
Right. All right, so there was a motion made by Archer.
That's scrolled down at the end of the
table. Seconded by Legislator Warren. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carried. And I'm going to take, before we get to resolutions, we're going to be taking resolution number 122 out of order, confirming the appointment of Susan Kowalski as Commissioner of the Department of Public Works. This way we can, I think everybody has a copy of Ms. Kowalski's resume. Before we go in to ask you some questions, Susan, would you like to make some opening remarks?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, as I said earlier, I feel like I'm kind of going back to my roots because I did a lot of construction work, administration, back in the 80s and 90s, if I'm reading them, so. And at that point, it was mostly my financial education that was helping me, but as I worked in these places, I learned more and more and more, and now having gone to law school, the whole contracts and regulations, it's such a huge part of public works that I think it's going to be a great experience. I'm very excited about it. I think I have a lot to bring to the operation there, and I hope you'll give me that opportunity.
Does any legislators have any questions for this?
I just have a couple bits. I took a look at your resume. Very impressive resume. Very heavy in legal and accounting experience. I had two questions. Do you have any fleet maintenance or management experience? Have you had any?
Well, I had some at RKG Sheet Metal. You know, we had union staff, union personnel, and they all had company trucks. I didn't do any purchasing, so the owner did that, but I took care of things like easy pass and so on, but the county also has a fleet manager.
Yes.
Okay. So I would expect, since she's part of the whole operation, that I would work closely with her to manage that.
I was just curious on your question. The other thing is do you feel confident that you can, part of your job duties myself as the commissioner of public works, is that you have to operate the duties as a county engineer or the county superintendent of highways. Do you feel confident that you could do that?
Well, I have staff that can do that. I'm not an engineer, and I don't.
Yeah, that requirement they took away several years ago.
To be an engineer.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, in my mind, and I believe this is correct, this is a management and administrative role that's an umbrella for the four pieces of public works, which is the buildings, the highways, the fleet management, and the, the budgeting. No, the engineering division. The five, the four different pieces. Right. And I think, you know, my idea of this role is to kind of make that more of a cohesive unit. They're, you know, they operate somewhat independently at this point, but they should, I think efficiencies can be developed by having an overview of the operation, and obviously the budget's a big piece of that too. So I feel confident, I am confident that I can do it. I believe that if the county executives didn't think I was competent to take on the role, he wouldn't have appointed me, and I'm enthusiastic, and as you can see from my resume, I retain 90% of what's given to me, so 90% or better, so I think I'll learn a lot. I'm not, you know, and I'm looking forward to that.
Congratulations on your appointment. I think this is fine.
Thank you.
Keep your enthusiasm. It's hard day and very difficult.
That's public service work.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else have any questions for Mr. Polonsky? Now, buildings and grounds comes under DPW, so that's also under your, and you have somebody right below you who oversees the day-to-day operation, which is Brian. And Susan, the only question I have, I mean, I've worked for a highway department. Next month I'm going on my 36th year, and I know in that business, and I'm sure Joe can attest to this, that how can I say without insulting or, but you do deal with people in that municipality work that are sometimes pretty rough around the edges. And sometimes you'll find yourself, and I mean like rank and file people, and sometimes, you know, you've got to find yourself, it'll come to you. It'll go over Joe, it'll go over the section of supervisors, it'll end up coming to you when push comes to shove. You know, my question is to you is, you feel you can stand your ground, you feel like you got that thick skin, you know, and that individual might, you know, like want to come over to the desk and say, you know, I mean, you'll be dealing with that from time to time.
Right.
I've seen it in the 36 years at my job alone, and it's sometimes not fun.
Right.
You know, and I just wonder if you feel that you have that inside of you, that if you got to deal with that, you can sort of like the buck stops here attitude.
Absolutely. I have absolutely no problem with
no
that.
No problem with that. I've heard that about you.
Okay, who told you that? I'm trying to
it's important for me to know because, I feel like I said, I've seen that.
Right.
I mean, I know the education there, the background.
Right. Well, I was also a bartender for 20 years, so I worked in every restaurant.
I didn't know.
Did you work for Butcher Guido?
No, I honestly feel that I have absolutely no problem.
Rattled or right. Okay. Does anybody have any? I was waiting for legislative affiliate. It seems like he's not there, so I'm going to move the meeting forward. Then he knew the meeting started at 6:30. So without any questions, I'd like to move the question forward. I'm looking for a motion.
I move it.
Okay. Motion made by Legislator Warren, seconded by Legislator. I always forget your name. I don't know why I do that. All in favor?
I won't take it personally.
Okay.
Aye.
All in favor? Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Bill.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate it. You don't mind if I hang around here?
No.
You better.
No, I appreciate the vote of confidence, and I will not let anyone down.
And if there's anything we can do to help.
As a committee, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
On behalf of the rest of the department, thank you.
Okay.
It'll be a pleasure working with you.
Dean, I don't know if everybody's aware, but Dave Bowles is retiring at the end of the month.
Yes, I was aware.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's another change in the department.
Now, what was his title after the financial end, right?
He was deputy for administration.
Deputy for administration, so that's fine. That's gonna be filled.
Yeah, well, we're doing a rework, so.
Okay.
I just also want to commend the department for all that you're doing to attend to infrastructure. You know, a lot of places that keep deferring that, and it's really wise planning. I know last month it was like, where'd all this come from? But once I came to understand it, it's really good work.
Okay, moving on. Resolution number 120, approving the execution of the contract in excess of $50,000. This will go to the County Atlantic Paving Market Incorporated, Department of Public Works. This is a contract with Atlantic Paving Market. This is to mark the roads. Yellow line and white line is a 1-year contract. It's a 1-year contract for $305,232.50. Now, these contracts go year to year, 3 years, year to year.
Yeah. This was just handy bid, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I thought we did this not that long ago.
I think there's another company that starts with Atlantic.
But this is for the marking of the roads. I remember having a discussion about marking the roads. That's why I, for some reason, I can't.
This contract starts March 1st, 2016
and February 28, 2016.
Okay, so did we extend it?
No, we extended it once and then it expired.
Right.
So we did do something for this.
So that should have been last year.
Yeah.
Extended and then now it's there.
Right.
And it went out to bid there again.
For some reason, I'm thinking it's not that long ago.
I'm happy to look it up. I don't have it here, but I'm happy to look it up and let you know, because it sounds familiar.
With a similar name, but the same, very similar.
Yeah, we have a wonderful answer.
I think a year goes by anymore faster.
Yeah, I was just saying.
Yeah, like every 6 months
faster. That's what I didn't see.
But it's worth checking.
Yeah.
And I'll do that in the calendar.
I know when I've been there.
Yeah, no, I'm just for some reason I'm thinking that we actually went through this same thing. Hey, look, maybe it's just.
Entertain a motion to move this.
I'll move it.
Moved by Legislator Warren, seconded by Legislator Green. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries.
Just make sure I don't know the name. I'm going to. I'll email Nettie and she'll forward it to you. This is also this other resolution number 121 is something that's been on the horizon and discussed a while ago. Amending resolution number 382 dated October 21st, 2014, abandoning portions of Old Albany Post Road, County Road number 79, town of Carter to various adjoining property owners, removal of a portion of said road from county road map, and authorizing the chairman to sign agreement with the town of Carter and various adjoining property owners.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Second.
All that happened here, this is that tunnel town hill issue, and it was completely resolved, and it came to our attention that the, one of the parties that the property was going to be abandoned to, in October, they filed a name change with the New York State Department of State. So now our resolution says, I forgot their name.
This has been
an LLC.
That road, Old Albany Post Road, was a very windy road with a bridge. A number of years ago, we straightened the road, put a new bridge in, and the old bridge was left in place. Over time, the previous owner of the restaurant, Gabriello, began to use this portion of the abandoned bridge that was taken out of the water, put on the side, used it as a dining area overlooking the stream, and it became a critical portion of the restaurant doing business. So we, about 5 years ago, began this process. Unfortunately, Gabriello's business had a lien against it, and we couldn't resolve the property exchanges because of the lien. The original owner of the property, Mr. Lorenzo, who's Tunneltown Spirits, then purchased the property back, invested a significant sum of money. The loan, or the lien, was then cleared, and that is now why we're abandoning. The piece of road that we're abandoning is not much more than a block. And the primary interest of the property owner is this deck. The town will have the road and some property on the other side. So that's kind of the history. You wouldn't even, when you go there, you wouldn't even realize you were, if there was ever a county road, it looked like you were driving into somebody's yard.
The bridge is gone, and they built the deck on top of the old stone abutment adjacent to the mill.
Right. They took the old bridge and flipped it over, actually.
Sort of
where Glenn Newton is from.
Yeah.
Sam Crawford.
Yeah.
When he was down there, he was a legislator in that district.
And originally, it was Mr. Smith operated the mill. It's a shame he went out of business. That was the oldest continuous operating mill in the United States.
Wow.
Until 1996.
96, I think it was. Okay.
Yeah. The road almost dead ends right at the door.
Of course, fresh road. Yeah.
Just
formality.
So if there's no more discussion, I'll entertain a motion to vote. Motion made by Legislator Lauren.
One second.
Seconded by Legislator Archer. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Old business. I know Legislator Lauren last month had questions about the Emmeldorf Bridge in the city of Houston, county or city, but from what I'm gathering here, we don't have an answer yet tonight. Is there an answer out there to be had?
Well,
anybody
I asked, what I did was, I went to Tom Jackson downstairs to see if he could help, and he suggested Mike Shook because he said he didn't have any records that would help. So I called Mike, he called me, we missed each other, so I just emailed him today and asked him if he knows, and if he doesn't, can he give me direction to someone who might, and that's all, so I'll just keep.
I'm sure we'll get the answer.
By federal law, there's a biannual bridge inspection that has to be done, and it's done by, typically, the New York State Department of Transportation. When they do that inspection, they turn those records over to the county. So you should have, all the biennial bridge inspections, and that bridge would be in there.
Maybe
that you inspect is the the deck surface, bearing to the perimeter, the foundation, the steel strainer, the boarding. So you should, and every time there's any maintenance done on the bridge, they pick that up in the biennial bridge inspection. So any paving or any major repair, I'm sorry, pothole repair, should be on that report, and it should be no more than 2 years old.
I imagine that.
Ed, like I said, I don't know if Ed really knows. He said
we don't have anything on record.
And he didn't have
it being.
And it's a bridge. I mean, it's over 20 feet long.
It qualifies as a bridge.
I went over it.
It still should have a big number, but
every bridge has a big deal, right? Even the railroad bridge. Everybody.
He said
we didn't have anything, and that's what his constituents. He said, I don't see then how it could be unless the city has all of that.
Well, it depends on who owns the bridge.
Right,
you
find out. But maybe the city does have the records,
and
maybe
my stuff about that. You can contact the DOT, and they have a copy of the bin folder for that bridge. They could send me a copy of it, and they can tell you who the owner is. And if you go to the bridge, it should be the northeast quadrant of the bridge. There should be a plate. It's a green plate with a number on it. That's your bin plate number. You take that bin plate number and you call the DOT, they can tell you when it was filled, everything about the
house. Is there any possibility in your extensive knowledge that it's not considered a bridge?
If it's over 20 feet, it is considered a bridge.
Actually, I think Peckham got most of the awards, depending on where it is, but does everybody else?
Because Town has, now they don't wash their stone anymore, right?
No, they still
Oh, they still wash their stone, because then you got to have washed stone for the oil.
So just looking at it, everybody knows these are motor paved roads that get,
yeah.
you know, seal treatment.
Yeah.
You know, they keep the maintenance process for motor paved. And they try to get done every 3 years.
Yeah.
Novacek?
Yeah.
Novacek?
Yeah.
Novacek? Yeah. Okay. Highway rehab, Novacek. And we did Myron Lane last year.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. And the last thing was public works organizational chart.
Well, where we are is since Dave Shealy retired,
yeah.
and we knew we were going to. We're working on it on a new organization. We'll have it. We'll have it for the next next meeting.
All the changes are
and we'll right, and we'll give you a whole new design because everything is not accurate anymore.
Right.
Minimally, so.
Right, right. A lot of changes, but I'm interested to see that new chart now. As the rest of the community is too, so you know who's who and who to contact.
We talked at the last meeting about the Demons Plan and whether or not there was an energy plan per se in any of the projects already earmarked for this year, and in trying to ensure it's all together. Did you say maybe, Brian, maybe I got it wrong, that you thought that there were projects in the capital project plan?
There's, I believe it's a $2.25 million capital project proposed. It's
for just for the HVAC, but that didn't include...
HVAC and some, you know, weatherization.
Did it include all the elements of the teaming plan or no?
No.
Okay. And we had talked about is there projects out there that include elements of that plan?
Yes, and some have been completed. A couple of cooling towers replaced and numerous rooftop units replaced, and mainly at the Department of Social Services.
Okay.
So some of those facility improvement measures recommended by Siemens have taken place.
Okay, so what pieces, I guess, then maybe the question should be what
ones are
haven't been done and are not earmarked anywhere, and should we be talking about? Is that what you were talking about at the last? Is that what you meant?
Also, currently there's some discussions with Siemens for them to come back in and reevaluate some of them. Okay.
What changes have been made? What we
a few years ago.
What we've done is we've sat down with Siemens and got over their 2010 report and brought up the various buildings, so they're up to date on what we have. That's the infirmary is no longer listed. The 300 Flatbush. So some of those things we've sat down. They're going to have a report within, I hope, the next month of what we have. Is there any low-hanging fruit left for us to jump on quickly? Is there any mid-range things? And then, again, look at what we're doing. Some of the things they recommended, 90 years to recap a boiler or whatever. So that's kind of where we're at with them right now. I spoke to the person last week who's got the engineers looking at it, so hopefully next month we'll get a little bit of an update that looks at kind of a tiered approach. One of the things we've also done is met with Central Hudson and looked at some opportunities that may be there. Everything from improving county scenarios using perhaps natural gas at a site, as well as the impact for economic development, so that if we extend, for example, Old Kings Highway,
right.
if natural gas was extended on Old Kings Highway, it makes development of that area much more attractive, particularly when we talk about expansion, because folks may come there in a smaller capacity with hopes of expanding, but the expansion isn't feasible without natural gas.
So it's great that the...
When we're talking about improvements, buildings, and all that, we're not, are we talking about county-owned or county-owned and leased?
County-owned primarily.
Because I'm curious, I'm wondering if we're going to be including, for example...
Family court, we wouldn't be making them. No, we wouldn't do anything.
That would be a total...
Oh, no, we can't do anything.
Legally, we can.
We can, it's just our buildings. I mean, what, if the company looked at somewhere and said, you know, if we're doing this at your building and you have family court,
right,
tell them they should do it too, like lighting.
Just as a follow-up, if this is great that you're doing an update and building inventory kind of correcting, what would be helpful, particularly for me, because I'm new to the group, is just understanding what you did accomplish from the original report. So that, you know, we have a sense of all the work you did do and you know, what we've got remaining. Because I assume that first go-around with that report was trying to get some of the low-hanging and some of the structural things.
We got rid of all our coal-fired boilers.
Yeah, big stuff, yeah. But that would be helpful. Thank you.
Put it out in front of you.
Does anybody have any other questions? Any other concerns?
I want to mention something that's relevant, but is not specifically on the topic of Siemens. I have one quick question on Siemens. Just how much is it costing for them to redo it? Was that budgeted?
The way Siemens works is a percentage of the savings if we commit to something, basically. So that's the nice part is they're, you know, like this report is they're doing this report for free, hoping that we're going to contract with them to do things, and you know, we're trying to balance everything from NYSERDA to Central Hudson to lighting, so. You know, I think the combination of the work Brian's done on the building side since 2010 and Amanda LaValle's done on the environment side, you know, it's been a really good match because, you know, we all know, you know, Central Hudson just told us, where was it, Brian? Was it Greenhaven? The state actually paid to run the gas line to Greenhaven and spent like $4 million on a gas line because they were spending
a couple of billion a year.
Yeah, like $4 million a year on fuel oil.
Yeah, the cost.
And they said like the first year they break even almost because of the savings. Wow. So, you know, so we're looking at it not only internally for the energy efficiency and cost for the county to do business, but also the importance of it for, you know, the same way we talk about broadband, that other part of the infrastructure, the natural gas, and some of those other things make it much more attractive to attract business.
Just to let everyone know, the idea of street lighting and Central Hudson came up at the Climate Smart Committee, and Pat Courtney Strong is working on pulling together something, and certainly the county will be invited and all the towns, because seems like about a year ago Central Hudson was being very generous about it, and now they're starting to kind of pull back on some of their offers, and you know, there's some question if the towns pooled their resources that they could own the LED lights and hire somebody to do the maintenance, and it might be more cost effective. So there's going to be an event coming up. As soon as I know anything more about it, I'll let you know.
And we're looking at that specifically as part of the building in Belle Rosser County and our infrastructure at the fairgrounds.
Right.
And Joe's going to meet with Central Hudson out there on March 17th to look at the adding shoulders, but also as part of that, adding shoulders for pedestrian and visitor safety is a reduction in the number of poles, moving poles, and trying to get, because if anybody remembers, it kind of looks like they're all kind of grown out of the ground out there, and we're going to try to reduce and get them on one side of the street. And Central Hudson's very interested in doing that because they talked about the kind of willy-nilly of pole placement over the years has made their maintenance and upkeep a lot more difficult when a pole's in the middle of a field, or I got a pole that's way back over here and another one that's too close over here.
I remember having a discussion way back even with Dave Shirley, and then one of the points that he raised was that Central Hudson had a lot of poles that were not necessarily being used but were not removed. Is that still the case?
Yeah, really. Not that I can tell.
This was years ago.
Usually if they take, if they're not in service, they usually take them out. I mean, that's what I've noticed. And a lot of times they'll, another conversation we had with them in that meeting that day was the idea of moving their poles back from the pavement. So as we try to get more and more shoulders, it would be, you know, if they come and do new poles, it's easier for them to relocate the poles at the time they're doing their, you know, they're rebuilt, so it doesn't have to be moved out to time. So they come in, their general rule is going to be 10 foot off our pavement is where they're going to put their poles. That will work out fine. There's a lot of poles that's a lot closer than 10 foot to our roads.
Yeah, and all along Libertyville and Albany Coast and 299, and then up Springtown Road, many years ago we installed a telephone cable, buried cable, and it was only
3 feet
of asphalt, yeah. Right. Yeah. Took out a chunk of that
dead thing. I heard you. That exactly abandoned, Ryan.
Why aren't they
burying
them?
The line.
Why aren't they burying them?
I don't know. Lost, probably. Some are, you know, some are buried along the road, some are above,
I mean, is there any way of burying? Can they have a combination of buried and not buried? So we start to think about burying.
Yeah, they do. They do have a combination, but I think it's pretty much up to them the way they run them, I believe.
Well, we'll have Joe ask that question when he's there, because we've identified now at that meeting the person who is going to go out with Joe
the point person
on, you know, which pancake hollow we're going to have to move one. So, you know, he's going to go there first, then we're going to look at the New Paltz Bridge and the fairgrounds. So we hope to, you know, be able to do it. And again, back to the pedestrian and bicycles, if those poles are off the road and we add shoulders, now we have a lot safer environment.
Right.
If I may, just one other topic very quickly, unless anybody has any more. I just, I'm sure you folks know that there are now two potential fleet policies moving through energy and environment, and I just feel like it's really important to get direct input from your departments.
We spoke about that this morning.
It'll
be available.
Because
right.
You know, just
right.
If we do it, we want to do it once, and we want to do it right.
Right.
And in particular, from my perspective, I think I have a fairly good understanding of what was, what a green fleet policy would entail for automobiles, for most automobiles, and even there may be exceptions. But then for, you know, the heavy-duty vehicles and the buses, and that's, like, over my head. And I just want to be sure that people that know about those things look at the fleet policy, because, you know, a couple of versions, and you're trying to figure out how to weave them together. I think it's great that we're looking at it. I also think it's urgent because just of the climate crisis. We've really got to be aggressive on all these fronts. So I really appreciate hearing that Siemens is revisiting the building stock. And then that's the other big thing that comes up both in
energy and environment, and you know, climate smart because it's part of the pledge that the county took. So I think this is great that these are being actively considered and planned, and let's make as much progress as we reasonably can in the next.
We're meeting Monday on that very topic of trying to get the two sides, to be able to do the work, but do it as efficiently and as concerned for, the green fleet as we can make it.
Now, Bob, who's the individual from your side?
Kim Million is our fleet manager.
And anybody else have any questions or comments or concerns? Bob, you heard?
Just one that came to mind. I know Dennis Earl had mentioned that you had some sort of preliminary correspondence confirmation on those bridge panels from the tap and see. Did you ever get? I saw him in a meeting here a month and a half ago, and he said that he had gotten some correspondence from the DOT.
Ed hasn't said anything to me, but I will check on
it. Yeah, it's a cheap way to get your bridges off the division bridges.
Okay. Legislator.
Also, Legislator Green's comment, I had a conversation with Tim Cornell the other day about the green fleet policy, making the transition on the vehicles. And so with the larger vehicles, he enlightened me that for like the utility vehicles like dump trucks or snowplows, things of that nature, I guess utility vehicles that are utilizing diesel, they can do a switch over to biodiesel, but then during the cold winter months, that it's not conducive, it's bad for the engines, it just won't work. So that with those types of vehicles, you can run it in the warmer months of the year, right, biodiesel. And then I've been told that the buses are going to do like more of a mass transfer over to the biodiesel. And then I guess the assumption would be that they can run better in the colder months. I didn't get into that.
Yeah, they're inside.
But you'll also have to look at the biodiesel leaks rubber, all the seals and ended. So the older equipment that has a more natural rubber seals, effectively you run them for 6 or 8 months and then you have to throw the vehicle away or put in the water. So you need to pay attention and not ruin your fleet.
So you have to run it?
The newer diesel engines are putting synthetic seals in that are not subject to the deterioration under biodiesel.
Okay.
So the newer portion of the fleet, you could probably convert to biodiesel and burn biodiesel. The older portion of your fleet, any of your old equipment, your bulldozers and things that you don't replace on a regular basis. I mean, bulldozers and backhoes or whatever you replace every 15 years or thereabouts. If you burn biodiesel in them, your replacement, they're going to have to be very quick.
Right.
So you'll save, you'll save $100,000 but have to spend $8 million to replace that portion of your fleet.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do it with forethought.
And then just with the grant money that become available, like that, pragmatic to like say, okay, we're going to transition over 180 vehicles 25% by 2025 or something like that, because you can't forecast when the grants from Albany and Washington are going to become available to pay for this, is what we're relying on, because you can't prognosticate past one fiscal year in general, because those grants are available 1 year at a time and you have to, it's a competing basis and you have to fill out the applications correctly. But
you can go to the OGS contract, because in 1996 or 97, the governor passed 15% of the state fleet by the year 2015 had to be running on alternate fuel. So over the years, the OGS contract has been tailored to have that type of equipment on the purchase.
Last year, when I brought this up, There was a question about, first of all, what vehicles were available on OGS, on State Gas, and also that their bid cycle and our purchasing cycle or our budgeting cycle were out of sync. I specifically remember Amanda about saying something about that. And I just want to raise that so we don't get caught in that again. And if there are vehicles that we think should be on state bid, then we let OGS know that if they're going to be consistent, OGS is a state department, the state sponsor of the Climate Smart program. If they're going to be consistent, then they have to make the vehicles that the municipalities might want to be purchasing available. So just two things to think about in that regard. And it may take yet another year to get either back in sync or get the vehicles we want to be purchasing available. So I think there was only, maybe one of the multiple hybrids and plug-ins and electric vehicles. My memory is rusty, but maybe they just had Ford and there's, Chevy and Prius and Honda and whatever. So I think those are two things to look into as we work through this fleet policy so we can actually be ready. And I'm hoping that we can get, I don't know how quickly vehicles retire, but it seems to me like 25% by 2025 is not at all, an unreasonable. I don't know what the number is going to end up being, but it should be aggressive and achievable. And 2% certainly is not aggressive. Although it's quite achievable, I think it's actually already been achieved.
All right, anybody have anything else? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Legislator Warren, seconded by Legislator Archer. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. And before I leave, I'd like to introduce our new Public Works Chairman.
I just want to thank you.